Now in Life Matters, time for a conversation that might give you itchy feet. Call it a gap year, a sabbatical, or a working holiday. It can be life-changing. Though for some, it can be a wasted year too, which could leave you in serious debt and confused about your career path. George Dunford has written The Big Trip for Lonely Planet, a guide to gap year travel, and he joins me now. Welcome to Life Matters.
G'day, Richard. How are you going?
I'm really well. Did you have a gap year?
I did, yeah. Pretty much after I finished university, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I did what a lot of Australians do, and I went to London via Rome, and I worked in quite a few dodgy office jobs and worked in a bar and did all sorts of things.
Anything apart from the UK?
Yeah, I went to Russia, Estonia, Finland, Spain, or the US, and where I worked as not really a nanny. I think there's got to be a more masculine form of nanny, maybe a child wrangler, something. Yeah, I did quite a few jobs.
All right. Well, what was the best one? What was the worst?
Oh, the worst job was probably when I was working in a mental asylum, and it was a place that had quite an open door policy, and you got to meet a lot of the people there, head on. You sort of got to talk to them and things. That was quite grueling and difficult. I don't know, the best one was probably, I did crew on a yacht when I was in the US for a little while. I have no idea about sailing, but they thought because Australia had won the America's Cup, that gave me some sort of qualification.
Well, no arguing with that. It sounds like you did quite a lot of working. Was that the plan?
No, look, I didn't plan to do that. And I think in retrospect, I'd really look at what I did and try and do a lot more travelling and a lot less working. I think I got trapped a little bit in working too much and maybe not enough fun.
Did it change what you wanted to do with your life? Because travel has clearly continued to be a theme for you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm quite lucky that way in that, you know, I was able to sort of keep travelling. And I think when I was away, I did start writing and recording things that I was doing. And that was a real revelation to me, I guess, that you could do this and, you know, that I've been able to keep doing this is an even greater revelation. But, yeah, I think something about travelling is about trying on different jobs, seeing things that you might want to do and then trying to turn them into a career when you get back.
So if I was 18 or 19... 20 again, what would you say to me to encourage me to travel before I got on to that next stage of my life?
Well, I think travel is a really good time to, you know, see some of the things you've learnt about. We talk a little bit in the book about, you know, the Grand Tour and the idea that, you know, it would complete an education. And I think there's still something in that. You know, you can see all the pictures of the Acropolis you like or St. Paul's Square, but, you know, actually going there is completely changing, you know, the way you feel about things. And having that experience of being there is great. I think it's also really good for building your confidence. I think a lot of people come out of school and they go, oh, I don't know what I want to do. And I know that when I came back, you know, I'd think, oh, this is really hard, this job. It's quite difficult what I'm having to do. But it's not as difficult as having to work out, you know, the tram system in St. Petersburg or trying to communicate with someone on a really sort of basic level when I only speak three words of their language.
Actually, it occurs to me many young people living at home into their 20s, it's a crash course in independence.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And you are sort of on the other side of the world with very few support networks, and you have to work things out on your feet, you know.
Obviously, you need money. If you're heading off for a year, what kind of financial backup should you have?
Well, some countries have requirements around how much money you need to get a visa. I think the UK certainly has that requirement. I think, you know, having some savings behind you is absolutely essential. It depends on where you're going, of course. You know, if you're going to a country where and you're spending, you know, a short amount of time, you won't need so much money. But, you know, I think also having people at home, parents who can, you know, maybe help out with a credit card bill, that's always handy. I think having a good basis in savings is good, though, and also having the ability to work while you're away in various places. We talk about, you know, some of the jobs you can get. Teaching English is a very good one and a really mobile skill.
Yes. On Life Matters today, my guest is George Dunford, who's the author of The Big Trip, which is a Lonely Planet book. It's a guide to gap year travel. There are degrees of adventurousness, aren't there? There are risks in travelling that we shouldn't downplay. Are there some basics to kind of just be aware of?
Yeah, look, I think one of the things I think that we really try and emphasise in the book is the importance of, you know, understanding the country you're going to, understanding its laws and understanding that they apply to you. You know, I think a lot of people think that the Australian passport brings Australian laws with them or, you know, they can call the embassy when they're in trouble. And I think, you know, really understanding where you're going is crucial. And I think we've had a few incidents in the media where people have, you know, not understood that and found themselves, you know, running up against some very strict laws that they weren't aware of.
This is about just in being aware of different cultural mores and customs, being a respectful traveller, basically.
Yeah, but I think, you know, more basically, it can be about the law. You know, drinking age in the US, for example, varies quite a bit. You know, if you're 19 and you go over to the US and you think you can drink, you're going to be in for a bit of a surprise. Age of consent, all of those sorts of things vary everywhere you go. But the respect, I think, is important too. You know, things, dress is always a common sort of point that people talk about, making sure if you're going to go into a temple, you know, you're covering your shoulders, sometimes your knees, you know, depending on where you are. And just having a bit of an understanding for the culture that you're arriving in.
Now, not so long ago, when people my age were doing this, you'd disappear for weeks and your friends and family wouldn't expect to hear from you. You know, once a month would be as much as you might realistically expect. Now the expectation is very different, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we communicate so much more, you know, whether it's by text or mobile phone. So people have that kind of expectation when they travel as well. I think certainly, you know, people travel these days and they just switch a SIM card in their mobile phone and, you know, they're pretty much communicating as they would at home. Depending on where they go, obviously there are places where mobile phones networks aren't so great. And what I sort of say is, as a bit of advice is, you know, identify your kind of primary means of communication, you know, to your parents, your family, your friends, and say, this is how I'll be contacting you, and this is how often I'll be contacting you. And if that doesn't pan out, you know, have a secondary means of communication. So, you know, if you're in a place where the mobile phone network isn't so good, you can go, all right, if you don't get a text message from me every day, check the email and I'll try and send you an email. Because I think, you know, it's quite worrying for people not knowing where you are and not knowing what's going on. And if you just keep those lines of communication open, it can be really helpful for everyone.
Every day, though.
Well, yeah, some people do every day now with it.
You really?
Know, just, I mean, they'll get up and they'll send a text to their mum.
It really used to be weeks and weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Months sometimes.
I remember being in payphones and, you know, dropping coins
yes.
in, you know, to phone home, and that's something that people just don't do anymore. You know, some people update a blog and they just say, look, you know, I'll update my blog every 3 days and, you know, check for me there. Lots of different ways to do it. It doesn't have to be every day, but, it's possible.
Looking through the big trip, George, I am just struck by the options now. That is the other big change, as well as the technology for staying in touch and perhaps more of a culture of staying in touch too. Just essentially when I, you know, was at that age, people overwhelmingly went to London and one or two adventurous people I knew went to India and one person went to Thailand. But London was really it. And now there are just so many different choices.
There are, yeah, and there's a trial working visa with the US at the moment where Australians can go and work in the US for a period of up to a year, I think. I think that's changing quite a bit and it's only a trial period, but, you know, that's another sort of option. Lots of countries in the EU are also opening up to the idea of having Australians come and visit them and work. So, yeah, there are a lot more options. It's fantastic.
It occurs to me this is a major rite of passage if you live in this part of the world, which is a long way from lots of other parts of the world. What does it say about you when you kind of come back to the world of grown-ups? Is it something you put on your CV?
Well, I think so. I certainly put it on my CV. You know, when you're applying for a job at Lonely Planet, they might ask, oh, where have you travelled to?
Yeah.
But I think it also sort of says in the broader employment community, it says, look, I've been away. I'm able to, you know, work by myself and, you know, take care of myself a little bit. And that's only good for an employer, I think, to think that someone can be a little bit self-managing and look after themselves.
One thing that does occur to me is that it could be a bit of an adjustment coming back, especially if you go home to the family home. Your mum might be on your case in a way that you had forgotten about or you no longer think's appropriate.
Yeah, that's true. I think what happens is when you're away, you change quite a lot and then you come home and home hasn't changed so much. You've been at this really sort of frantic pace and, you know, nothing seems to have changed at the same speed and it is quite an adjustment, I think.
How long were you away for, George, when you did this?
I was away for about 2.5 years, and I came back, and you know, lots of things had changed in my family, and I was sort of trying to find my feet again. It took me a little while to work out, you know, what I wanted to do, and I think you have to allow a little bit of time to settle back in, and you know, maybe sort of look for a job or think about what kind of job you want to do.
One of my sisters went to America, and when she came back, she was into being totally honest with everybody. And I can't tell you how badly that went down.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to someone else about the when you come back and you do the local pronunciation of countries, you know. So I've been to America, you know, and yeah. you say it with that sort of self-important voice. That's always a little bit tough for the people you're returning to, I think. So
yes.
it's sort of the linguistic equivalent of a very annoying slide night.
I think that's where we'll leave it, George. But thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Richard.
That's George Dunford. He's written The Big Trip, Your Ultimate Guide to Gap Years and Overseas Adventures. It's for Lonely Planet. Did you have one yourself? Did you have a gap year or maybe a sabbatical or a working holiday in later life? Tell us about your experiences. You know how to do it. 02833 1430 or abc.net.au/rn/lifematters and head straight for the guest book.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.